Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Technocraft Industries Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Shares and Stocks Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anshika Patnaik from Systematix Shares and Stocks Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, we welcome you all to the Q4 FY25 conference call of Technocraft Industries India Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Ashish Kumar Saraf, Director and CFO, Mr. Navneet Kumar Saraf, Director and CEO, and Mr. Anil Garodia, Group CFO. I'll now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, followed by the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to everybody on this quarterly earnings call of Technocraft Industries. This call is to discuss our March 2025 results, which we just declared yesterday. Overall, it's been a fairly decent quarter for the company, with most of our divisions performing quite well. I now look forward to more detailed discussions and Q&A with everybody on the call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Aequitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of results. My first question is in the lines of drum closure division. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So we've made exceptional margins this time around, and what segment, or was it China, or was it India where this growth has come from?
Yes, the growth has come mainly on account of very good delivery to all our geographies. It's not just China. There's been a good offtake and good quantity in sales in this quarter, and that's reflected in the revenue. And because of that, our net profitability has also been recorded in this quarter. So it's actually been overall across all the geographies, like the U.S., Europe, rest of the world, and of course, China, not just one particular geography.
Got it. And do we expect this momentum to continue?
No, you know, that's very difficult to say. It's like I have said earlier, drum closures, you know, 30% is our baseline EBITDA margin, which always continues, but we do have exceptional quarters like this where we did 39%, and you know, so unlikely that this will be the case in every quarter, certainly not this kind of result every quarter.
Got it. Is there some amount of it preponed because of the tariff and hence the incremental exports or something on those?
No. No. The tariff has not yet actually become applicable also in case of drum closure, because drum closure is subject to reciprocal tariffs, which are, as you know, paused for 90 days. So there is, I don't think this has got anything to do with additional purchases in anticipation of tariffs.
Okay. Got it. So maybe just because of raw material...
seasonality and, you know... Yeah. It's quarter on quarter, there can be increases in demand by drum customers for various reasons.
Got it. And in terms of scaffolding, so basically what I understand is scaffolding almost 50% goes to US. So how is the tariff scenario there impacting us?
The tariffs became applicable on scaffolding in the US since March, 25%. And it's actually not impacting us at all. We are able to pass it on freely to the end customers. And our main competition, as I had said earlier, is China. The tariffs on Chinese scaffolding is much higher. That's about 70%. So we have that advantage. So long as we have that advantage, we are quite comfortable even with the 25% tariff.
Got it. So China would be 25%, which is across for steel and aluminum, plus the 30%, which is there, right?
No. You see, China had a 25% tariff on steel and aluminum from 2018. That didn't go away. On that, there was an additional 25% that was imposed, which was added in February this year for all countries. So China, as a result, became 50%. Plus, there was additional 20% ad hoc tariff added on China. So that's how, specifically for steel and aluminium, the tariff on China has become 70%.
Got it. And whatever tariff, 25% which we have been able to pass it on entirely to the customer's end, right?
Yes.
And how is the freight impact we are seeing? What is the scenario in terms of freight? Are we seeing any uptake in freight?
We are seeing a slight uptake in freight at the moment, but nothing significant.
Okay. Got it. And then I think foam work, we've done amazingly well in Mac1 this quarter also. So how are things over there? Like, are we seeing any real estate slowdown? Because I think we've been hearing that inventories have been piling around for some time in India specifically. So are we seeing any lesser inquiry or something, or any directionally anything, if you can tell us?
Mac1 is largely been a domestic India business, as you know. And no, we are actually not seeing any slowdown in inquiries. We are sitting on a fairly healthy order book and order pipeline also. The pipeline is quite strong. We are, you know, the slowdown in real estate that we are hearing is mainly in the very, very high-end, luxurious real estate segment, which is actually not a target market for Mac1. Mac1 is more aimed at affordable housing and mid-income housing. And there continues to be acute shortage in the country, and the prospects are that there is going to be continuous increase in supply happening in that segment. Also, now we are, looking at the export market for Mac1. We've already started Saudi Arabia. We've started South America. We've also started the US. And with our new capacity getting commissioned in Aurangabad, where we see, good supply coming in this year, that will also open up. So I think overall, we are very comfortable in Mac1. It's an important segment for us.
Right, I think that's reflected in the numbers as well. I think we're doing amazingly well there. Also, exports is how much for us in Mac1?
Right now it is very minuscule. It is only 1 or 2%, but that will increase. Our target is over the next 3 years, we want to build up at least 40% exports. But right now it's minuscule.
Got it. And how much order book are we sitting on for Mac1? How much months of order book?
We are currently sitting on about 6 months.
6 months of order books. Okay.
Yeah.
And Aurangabad facility is fully operational for this year. So we will be seeing another 400 net incremental revenue.
Not 100% operational. It is currently operating at about 75%. We expect it to be 100% by September this year.
Okay. Currently, it's operational at 75%. And
yeah.
100. Certainly. Got it. And in terms of steel formwork, how are the scenario like? How is the macro environment looking like for you?
So that business, actually, we are not so bullish about. We have maintained that business. We have actually not focused on ramping up that business. It's a very, it's a business that's sort of not very scalable. And in fact, we are going to probably ramp down this business in the next 2 to 3 years because we find that it's too specialized and it's not something that fits our overall formwork segment. It's only about 40 crores overall.
Okay.
And so it doesn't constitute a big part. So we are actually going to utilize the space to increase more of scaffolding there.
Got it. In a current mix of revenue, how much will be coming from Macron?
About 45%.
45%. Okay.
Yeah.
And in terms of Technosoft, are we planning to look at something like a demerger? Because I think the size is also growing and the business we are adding greater increased focus on the business in Technosoft. What is our outlook there?
The outlook is good. The company is growing, even though this year the profitability was lower than last year, but that was because of investments we have done for which we'll see results next year.
Right.
But no, we are not looking at demerger right now. We don't think at the current size there's any value and it makes sense. We are very much planning to keep it part of Technocraft.
Okay. Are we seeing any slowdown in U.S. or other clients in terms of IT? Because other IT companies we are listening, I understand we are into designing and all. So are we seeing anything on those lines over there?
Not for Technosoft because it's not IT focused, it's engineering focused, and actually engineering there is a strong uptake, mainly driven by shortage of engineer. The engineering labor availability in countries like U.S., Europe continues to be very tight, and there in fact unemployment is almost 0%, and so therefore there is a large shift towards outsourcing to countries like India. So we are seeing the demand environment quite robust there.
So Technosoft almost 70-75% would be U.S.
75% is U.S. That's right.
75% would be U.S., right? That's it from my end. I'll join the queue for further questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Kirti Vora from Abyssus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, wanted to ask that the job closure is doing quite exceptionally well. So for the full year, as you have been guiding out that only the margin should be in the range of 30% and growth should be in 5-7%, but we have beaten that quite a by leaps and bounds. So how do you see the job closure for the next year, sir, for the full year as a whole?
So we see the job closure growing at mid-single digits like it has grown in the last 2 to 3 years. China continues to be quite robust, and I think there we'll grow by about 10-12%. Rest of the world will grow by 4-5%. So I think we are looking quite comfortable because of the diversity to grow next year at about 5-6%. Of course, there are some disturbances in the U.S. on account of tariffs which keep changing. There's a 90-day window, and July 8th, we'll come to know whether reciprocal tariffs kick in or no. There is talks about the interim trade deal, which is likely to be announced between India and the U.S. by end of June, how that may impact the tariffs specific to India. So there are all these unknowns. Yesterday, you all must have heard about a court in the U.S. Putting a temporary stay on all tariffs, whether that gets challenged and gets into effect or no. So those kind of things are there which can sometimes affect demand. But at the moment, we are not seeing any such trend. So that's why I think 5-6% is something we should be quite comfortable.
Right, sir. And what about the scaffolding again, both on the growth and the profitability-wise? Because now this year, we will be seeing the new facility getting fully utilized. and hence the operating leverage benefit should also trickle down, right, sir?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so scaffolding also, I mean, this year we will see close to 90% utilization from the new facility in Aurangabad. So we should see a good close to 400 crores incremental revenue coming on account of that. And that will certainly improve the profitability. This year, the profitability was a little stretched because of heavy depreciation. We had about 15 crores of additional depreciation cost that's come in this year without full utilization of the facility. So actually, if we don't consider that depreciation, this year the margins were actually quite good of the scaffolding segment. Next year, we should see getting the margins closer to the 20% levels, which is what our target is. And we should see an incremental 400 crores revenue coming in.
The incremental 400 crores revenue from the Aurangabad, how much it was this year, sir, FY24, FY25?
This year, it was roughly about 25 crores.
But you told that it's operational at 75%, right?
But that happened only from February onwards.
Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. So that from the last year, it was nothing minuscule. So incremental 400 crores and the X of that will be the steady state, whatever growth rate. X of that, what growth rate should we expect?
X of that, we should expect a growth rate of at least 10%, 10%-15%.
Okay. Got it, sir. And sir, similarly on the engineering and the Technoforge front, we have been making the investment and we have increased the bench size also. So can you elaborate how much, how many people we have recruited in the last 1 year? So what's the bench strength and whether we see the margins to improve to the previous level of 20%-21% from current 14%?
This year, we have firstly recruited a lot of people in the sales and marketing teams overseas across various verticals. Then we've also added some new disciplines like plant engineering. So across those disciplines, we've recruited about 50 people, plus we've recruited on the sales front. Yeah, so that's in terms of the number of people.
Okay. And in terms of the profitability, whether it will be getting restored to the previous levels of 20%, sir, this year?
Sorry?
The margin what we used to make 20% in engineering.
Yeah, so next year, we are targeting next year that we should be close to the 20% margin, maybe even higher than that.
Next year, meaning FY26 or 27?
FY26.
Okay. And sir, lastly, on the textiles front, the losses have increased from 17 crores to 39 crores this year, EBIT loss. Any comments on that front, sir? Hello?
There is a heavy depreciation in this financial year because of the new unit. The depreciation value is about 26 crores. And also, the second unit was not fully running at full capacity because we faced severe labor shortage throughout the year. And I think our sales was not to the extent that we expected. It was only about 60% of what our target sales were.
Okay. So this year, we should see a reduction on the losses accordingly, right?
Yes. With the production going up, we will see reduction of losses, and hopefully, we should see some positive only, cash positive.
Thank you. And sir, what is the gross debt as of now, as of March?
Gross?
Debt?
Gross? Sorry? Debt?
Gross debt.
I think about 400 something.
No, no. Debt will be full company.
For the full company, the debt, no? Long-term debt.
Yeah. Yeah, for the full long-term plus the current.
400 something.
The long-term debts we don't have.
The term loans, sir?
The term loans was not included, sir.
Aurangabad maybe here, either be here.
What is that? One second.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chetan, the term loan is 193 crores overall.
Working capital, sir?
Around 650.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vakura Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So, just on scaffolding, I think you mentioned sometime back that the margins you are expecting for this segment is close to 20%. Was that EBIT margin you were mentioning about? Hello?
Yeah, it was EBIT margin that was mentioned earlier. Correct.
Okay. Okay. No, so, sir, for even for FY 2025, if I just adjust for the depreciation which you mentioned, adjusted for that also, I think EBIT margin was close to 15% for the year. So was there any other impact, other than the depreciation as well on this, in this year?
No, so EBIT margin this year was, actually, when you adjust for depreciation, 15 crore is only the incremental depreciation. Total depreciation is actually much higher.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
So what figure are you catching? I'm not sure what figure are you catching when you say-
No.
When you say adjusted for the depreciation, it's 15%.
No, I think you mentioned that for the new capacity, you have incurred 15 crore depreciation, which is not adding to any output, right? So if I just add the EBIT for the year and add the 15 crore, that gives me a figure of 15% EBIT margin for the year, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I was saying, I mean, was there any other factor other than the depreciation as well on this, in this front?
So, you know, other than depreciation, there, couple of things do come in. For example, when we look at our consolidated results, you know, we have consolidated with the U.S. subsidiary. The U.S. subsidiary runs on a different period, which is the, calendar year, and this runs on fiscal year. So due to different periods of consolidation also, you know, the percentage margin in EBIT can vary. There have been previous quarters where the EBIT margin has actually been 26%-27% as well. Our guidance is close to 20%. In addition to that, sometimes, you know, there have been a couple of quarters, I think this year only in the second quarter, there was a sharp increase in freight cost. So that reduced the EBIT. I think it was September quarter, if I'm not mistaken. So there was a sharp increase in freight cost. We had discussed this also in our investor call. So that also has made some impact. So combination of these things would have been there. Depreciation was the most significant part. That's why I mentioned it.
Okay.
The others have been there.
Okay. Okay, got it. Understand. And, so for the drum closure division, for the, let's say, month for the May, is there any impact on your, I mean, is there impact on, because of the tariffs on your margins for the drum closure division?
Currently, there is no impact, because like I said, the tariffs have not come into effect yet. So currently there is no impact. We have to see whether going forward there will be, but currently there is nothing.
No, I think there's a 10% baseline tariff which has been implemented.
Yeah, but that 10% has not made any impact.
Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Sriram, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Just one clarification. When you say your margins will be 20% next year, is it for scaffolding business as a whole or only for Macron?
No, this is the average. Average.
Okay, so-
For the whole segment.
Okay. So for the whole segment. Okay. Okay. And okay, fine, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vakura Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, for the scaffolding business, I think we got the approval in the Europe as well. What are the developments over there?
Yes, we got the approval and, you know, accordingly now we have started ramping up our distribution facility in Poland, where we have, you know, started also keeping inventory of system scaffolding for which we got approval to sell. We've made some breakthroughs. Although I would say substantial progress is yet to be seen, the market in Europe is still quite soft. So the demand there is still quite muted and it's still reeling from the Russia-Ukraine crisis. And so I think once the construction markets improve there, which we are expecting in the latter part of this year, then we'll see, you know, more momentum. But at least now we are fully approved to sell. There are no barriers for us, which is good. And we are waiting for the markets to pick up and demand to pick up.
Okay. Okay. And is the leadership team finalized over there?
Yes, absolutely. We have, we've already got that in place fully.
Okay. Okay. And sir, do we have a scaffolding business in India as well for the industrial segment? And is there, are there any positive developments over there?
We do have, although it's quite a small part of our overall portfolio. Unfortunately, in India, there are no regulations for scaffolding, even on the industrial segment. But that is changing. So what we've done is we've embarked on a distributor program. And we've already got two distributors in India now who basically sell, lease, as well as erect our scaffolding systems to industries like Reliance and Tata Steel and, you know, other petrochemical companies, etc. We are pushing that. And I think in the next couple of years, we do see some good traction happening in India as well. Currently, it's a small part of the business.
Okay.
But there is good potential for that.
Okay. And so just on Mach 1, I think you have the old capacity at Murbad, right? You're also trying to consolidate that business in one place. So is that consolidation happen or?
No, not yet. We actually don't plan to consolidate it this year as well because right now we are in the ramp up phase in the new facility in Aurangabad. Until we get to where we want to be in Aurangabad and that's stabilized, then we look to consolidate and shift it there because, so we are not in any hurry. Right now the Murbad facility is still running in addition to the Aurangabad facility and it will continue for at least the next 12 months or so.
Okay. Okay. And the capacity of the Murbad facility is similar to what we have in Aurangabad?
It's a little lesser. So Murbad we are doing, Murbad actually there are two units. So the two units combined we are doing 45,000 square meters a month. And Aurangabad, the capacity that we have is 50,000. So it's a little more than that.
Okay. 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 Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sriram, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So thanks again. I mean, you mentioned that China's tariff is at 70% and we are at 20%. So that's a lot of advantage for us. So what is the tariff level at which we'll become uncompetitive? And let's say tariff becomes equal, what will be our plan B? Like, are we open to look at nearshoring or things like that? So,
you know, we don't look at tariff as a competitive advantage. We don't think that's a good, healthy business model to have. In fact, in 2021-2022, when the Biden government had come in, there was a period of time when they had actually paused the 25% tariff which Trump had introduced on China in 2018. So there was a 12-month period where we were actually at par. And we were able to sell, we were able to compete, our sales really didn't drop or decline, even though steel prices in India are 15% higher. So, you know, price is not the only determining factor. What we are focused on doing in the U.S. is build our brand, you know, build our distribution network, having a good quality product available, locally, when the customer needs it, is actually the most important factor that influences buying decisions. And then the confidence in the quality of the brand, in the fact that it is all manufactured by one company, because other distributors that we compete with, they don't have their own manufacturing facilities. They are buying from multiple vendors, all around the world. So over the last 7-8 years, we have focused very heavily on making ourselves well-positioned and known in the market, which we now are. So, you know, while, yes, right now we have that tariff advantage, and that's, you know, a good, great commercial advantage to have, but we are, you know, we have built the business in such a way that tomorrow, if the tariffs were to be equalized or something, we don't want that to affect our business. And I think the last 12 months' experience during the Biden administration validates that theory. So we are quite comfortable that way.
So basically, we are prepared, right? Prepared for the worst.
Yeah, absolutely. We are prepared for the worst.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This is with regard to your engineering designing services business. Want to understand what kind of clients do you have in that particular business? Is it domestic or international? And what percentages of projects are time and material, and what is based on fixed price contracts there? And what kind of visibility you actually have in this particular business?
It is a 100% export-oriented business. There are no domestic clients. We are servicing four verticals. The verticals are transportation, industrial machinery, plant engineering, and high tech. And so within these verticals, companies who are, let's say, making machinery, heavy industrial equipment like cranes, earth-moving machinery, consumer product manufacturing companies, pharma companies, those are typically the kind of companies that we are servicing. Territories are U.S., U.K., Western Europe, and all the work is 100% time and material-based. We don't do fixed-price projects. So because of that, these are, you know, long-term contracts with good visibility, because once we sign a contract, we have dedicated teams working for that customer over multi-years. That's how it works.
How many customers you would actually have for this particular business?
So we would have close to about 80-85 active customers at any given point in time.
Got it. And I assume that these projects are smaller in size, because if I have 85 customers and you have total revenues of 210 crores, you know, just want to understand, you know, is there they're all like less than 1 million, 5 million projects? What kind of project contours you have?
So yes, we are targeting mid-sized companies. Our strategy in this business thus far has been to target mid-sized companies doing revenues of $250 million-$500 million a year. For such type of companies, the engineering budgets tend to be $1 million to $2 million a year. Our average customer size engagement, therefore, tends to be under $1 million a year, let's say $500,000. So therefore, yes, we do have multiple customers divided between them. Now, having said that, in the last 2 years, we've also changed our strategy, wherein while we continue to service this segment, because this was a niche segment that was not touched by some of the big players in India, so we found that attractive to enter and, you know, develop our company from that. But after we developed a good-sized team of close to 1,000 people with multidisciplinary capabilities, in the last 2 years now, we've started targeting larger multi-billion-dollar type of customers. That is where we've made the investments that I talked about last year in sales and marketing, and new verticals. And now this year we've actually signed up some good logos of companies like Pepsi and Henkel and Kimberly-Clark, which are all multi-billion dollar logos, and their engineering budgets are $10-15 million a year. So we expect, now, you know, once you sign up with them, what happens is that the first year or 2 years, it tends to be very small because they are testing you and, you know, they are working with 1, 2, 3 people kind of thing, and then it gradually ramps up. So we expect that next year and the year after, ramp-ups will start to happen in these large logos. So that's how it is.
And what kind of growth you actually expect in this vertical? Because last year has been little underwhelming, right?
Yes. The year before we grew at 38%, and and that was because of what I, as I explained to you, that it takes 2 years for new logos to ramp up. This year, obviously, the growth has been about 10-15%, but because of the investments we've made this year, next year, that is FY26, we should see a much higher growth.
Got it. Thank you. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vakyora Capital. Please go ahead. Yes, Mr. Rahul, go with the question.
Hi. Hi. This whole tariff uncertainty which has been caused, how has been the demand environment over April and May, and you move into June? Has there been any uncertainty or deferral of orders during this interim period, or it has been largely business as usual?
It has been business as usual. As I said, the tariffs have not created any kind of uncertainty right now, as of now.
Right. And if you look at the end market for which where your product goes, maybe even go by product, how are they placed? Is it more industrial, more construction? When you look at U.S., and I think for drum closure, it would be more about oil and gas, if I'm not wrong.
So for drum closure, the end markets are, industrial products, industrial chemicals. Basically, drum barrel manufacturers are the ones who use drum closures. Barrels are used to fill oil, chemicals, even pharma products, food products. So wide range of industrial as well as consumer goods. Okay, so drum closure, the end segment is actually very diversified. For scaffolding, it is industrial services, which includes refineries, power plants, petrochemical plants, steel plants, cement plants, shipbuilding. Then it includes commercial construction, which is buildings, infrastructure projects, then events. So these are some of the end use segments.
Right. And this drum closure, how much of your volumes are going to U.S. versus outside U.S. in the drum closure?
30%. Roughly about 30% goes to the U.S.
Okay. And the rest would be to like the Middle East and rest of the world? Or Middle East?
Widely distributed. I mean, Europe is a big segment. Europe is about 26%. Asia is about 24%. China is about 10%.
Right. In your engineering business, do you work on an order book basis or TCV basis the way IT companies work, or it's a bit different in terms of
business? No, it's time and material based, dedicated resource, time and material based, and that's how most IT companies work. So we don't work on fixed price projects.
Right. And you mentioned about various kind of engineering work you do under this. Roughly, which are the largest segment, like maybe X percentage going to that segment kind of work? Any split you internally monitor?
Out of the four verticals, currently transportation and industrial machinery is our largest segment. This includes companies that are, you know, making heavy equipment, special purpose machines, specialty vehicles like buses, coaches, tractors, luxury vehicles, etc. So yeah, that's the largest segment right now. And plant engineering is a new segment that we started last year. That I think in the next 2 to 3 years will also become a dominant segment because we're seeing good traction there.
And this transportation segment, is it seeing some sort of a softness or weakness? Because that's what we are hearing from a lot of auto-exposed companies in general.
We are actually not in the passenger car segment. We are more in the specialty vehicle segment. And actually, that's not going through slowdown. That's actually increasing because electric mobility is a big thing. Smart vehicles, those are all the factors that are driving innovation in that segment. And we work with a lot of companies that are in that ecosystem, suppliers, component suppliers to the OEMs, and all of them you know, require digital product development services.
And what is your value proposition compared to these large ER&D companies out of India, which basically have a larger team strength and, you know, all kind of capabilities? So how do you win business? What is your USP to drive your business?
Frankly, nothing really. I mean, we don't have some unique USP compared to like a Larsen & Toubro Technology Services or a Cyient. In fact, our portfolio of Technosoft is very similar to a Larsen & Toubro Technology Services. We compete with them in the US. And I think it's just that the demand environment is very strong and there is therefore need and space available for more vendors to come in. And that's where we fit in.
Okay, great. And your margin structure in this segment, you think does it normalize at some level, or you're already at that normalized level which you are right now operating at?
We are close to that level. We have always in this business, we have always been at 20%. But you know, it varies. This year it was 14% because you know, we made investments in capacity increase and SG&A, and that we could do in a growing company year on year. So I think at a steady state basis, this is a 20-22% margin business, but it could vary between 15-20% year on year.
Right. And amount of investment of talent you require to execute on your plans, you have already done that, or more is required to be done in fiscal 26?
No, we have done that, what we wanted to do this year. But, you know, this is something that's ongoing, right? I mean, you are always front-loading capacity increase investment first before the revenue follows. So for a growing company, we will always be doing some amount of investment every year.
Great. Thank you. I wish you really good.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions. One, in the current presentation, we haven't mentioned anything about defense, but in the previous one, we had mentioned about LRSAM and, you know, the work that we have been doing in computer shell of LRSAM design project, a partnership. In the last conf call also, we had mentioned about a partnership with a defense, with a French and an Israeli defense company. Can you give some light on this as to what's happening now on this?
Yeah, Anand, basically, there was one slide earlier on the defense, because there was no development, so we thought that, okay, let us wait for some time, let some development happen in defense side, and then we will come back to the shareholder. Frankly speaking, defense as such takes a lot of time. We have developed the product, and which has been informed to the shareholder earlier, and we'll definitely come back as soon as, you know, new products or anything comes back from commercial point of view. As of now, it is going at a slow pace, so hence nothing was covered in this presentation.
Makes sense. The second question I have is like on the textile and the yarn division. What we have seen is like across companies, the margins have gone up in this division, whether it's the South-based yarn companies or textile garmenting companies slash North-based. What's happened in our case, we don't see that. So, A, it's been a pain point for the company for last, let's say, 5 years from the time we got into this, and we haven't made anything significant, or financially, we haven't shown any significant improvements here. When do you think this division can turn profitable?
Looking in the yarn?
Pretty decent scale. Yarn and the entire textile, because they're now
Yarn,
part of integrated.
yarn. In yarn, I don't think the margins have increased in the industry last year. They are still at single digits only from what I have seen. And we are also in the same single digits. This year in unit two, we had a loss because of the low capacity utilization, because we could not run the full mill at 100%. We sold only about 60% of what we had budgeted to sell. So that is a huge loss to us. Yarn, I don't think you can expect very good returns. It's a very highly competitive business, and I don't see margins improving also much in yarn. It can only get little bit close to double digit, but not something substantial. So what we are trying to do is we are trying to convert all our yarn and fabric into the finished product. And so we are consciously trying to increase the garmenting business and take that up forward. Like last year also, we doubled our sales. But due to some inefficiencies in the operations, we could not realize the profits, which we are trying to plug now with some good operational efficiencies. So we are trying to consume more and more of our yarn and fabric and not sell that as a commodity and sell it as a garment. This is our strategy going forward.
Okay, but as of now, we don't. I mean, I'm talking of yarn plus fabric plus garmenting that we are doing all.
Yeah.
And I'm not just specifically talking of yarn division alone.
Yeah.
And we also see a lot of, you know, this shift towards India, especially in the garmenting side. Now, my question is that when I see all these three businesses combined, when can I see some kind of profitability, even better results from these three divisions combined? Maybe this year, next year. Do you have any visibility around this?
This year, we are bullish. We are bullish on the garment side this year because of two things. One is, there is that India and UK FTA has been announced. We don't know when that will come in effect, but it should happen early. It should happen in the second half of this year. So that will give a big, big boost to the garment business in India. And even from US, India as of now stands to have the highest advantage in terms of the duty as compared to the other Asian countries that are supplying garments to US. India has the lowest tariff. So at the moment, this quarter is bad because the buyers in US are holding on to orders. They want to see what happens after that 90 days and what is the final duty announced. But chances are that India will stand to gain. So we are bullish on the garmenting side. We are not very bullish on the yarn side. Fabric, we are trying to convert. We're trying to increase the garment capacity, not by our own CapEx, but trying to tie up with other units and create a kind of a joint venture, and then thereby getting more orders of garment and utilizing our fabric. So then we stop selling fabric, you know.
Okay. Next question I have is on the scaffolding division. So last year, we did a total sales of around 1,245 crores. Now, with our increased capacity, what is the sales driven by current prices that we can do for the whole year?
For March 26, yeah. So for March 26, considering that we will be having close to 90-95% utilization average of the Aurangabad capacity, we should be able to do, and some increase in the scaffolding segment, we should be able to do close to 1,700 crores in March 26.
Okay, but like if I were to say that, you know, if we reach 90-95% utilization levels in March 20, in the March quarter of 26, FY 26, then scaffolding should be like around 450 crore kind of a run rate quarterly. Is that like the fair
yes.
estimate?
Yes, monthly run rate, yes.
Quarterly run
rate. Sorry, quarterly run rate, yes.
Okay. Thanks for this and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. If I just look at the scaffoldings business, it is in scaffoldings, formwork and Mac 1. Now, which part of the business is actually also has domestic element to it? So it is only the scaffolding business is actually domestic or you also have formworks and Mac 1 is domestic?
No, it's reverse. Mac 1 is currently 100% domestic. Formwork is 100% domestic. Scaffolding is 95% export.
Got it. And Mac 1, what kind of you know volume growth you actually expect in Mac 1? Is it already you know there is a waiting list for people to actually buy from you?
Yeah, so because there is a waiting list, we have added this new capacity in Aurangabad. Our total sales, Mac 1 is sold on square meter basis. So our total sales in this last fiscal year, March 25, was about 470,000 square meters. And our targeted sale for next year is 9 lakh square meters based on the increase. So therefore, that's the volume growth we expect.
Got it. I think one of that, you know, people actually reuse it, right? So Mac 1 or formwork or scaffolding, which people actually reuse and where people, you know, it is a consumable that people cannot reuse.
No, they don't. Formwork, scaffolding are not reuse, are all reusable. They are capital items that are reusable. In Mac 1, you know, there are specific components. There are certain standard parts which get reused. Then there are, so it's 50-50, about 50% of the total supply to a particular project gets reused and 50% is special. The special gets scrapped after the project is completed. The standard can be reused on another project or it requires modification. Mostly the developers buy for certain project specific and after the project they like to scrap the whole system since the scrap value of aluminium is quite good.
Got it. So moving on to textiles, among the four verticals, can you just tell me what is the production numbers for spinning, for knitted fabric, for dyeing and finishing and garments for the year FY25 and what has been the growth when compared to the year FY24?
Yeah, I have the figures.
Okay.
So quantity wise, grey yarn is around 13,500 metric tons in FY25 and dyed fabric is around 3,300 and the garments are around 62 lakh pieces.
Okay. So the knitted fabric and dyed yarn?
Yeah, basically it's a mix of both. 3,300 is dyed and grey and grey fabric both included. If you want to break up that, we can dig out and give it to you.
Fair enough. Sir, and also in this, what is your sourcing advantage in cotton? And do you actually import any yarn here?
No. We don't import any cotton. Cotton has the 10% import duty, no. So it's not viable. We are actually having good advantage in the cotton purchase because we are in Amravati belt, which is in the heart of the cotton growing belt. You know, that's mainly from where we buy cotton. So we have a logistical advantage in cotton raw material.
And what do you actually export out of this entire thing? Like, do you export yarn or do you export knitted fabric or garments?
Both. All three. We export yarn, fabric and garments.
Got it. Thank you, sir. This is helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you everybody for participating in this investor call, and it was a good engaging Q&A session. I hope you all have all got a good insight on the company's performance and future prospects. We would like to reiterate that like we discussed on the call, we are quite positive on the future prospects in spite of some uncertainties with tariffs in the US, but overall the demand outlook is strong in the construction industry, and we expect as a result of the new capacities added in Aurangabad, the scaffolding segment is on a strong footing. The engineering design services segment is also on a strong footing, and we do expect losses to come down in the fabric segment and growth in the yarn segment. So thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematix Shares and Stocks Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.